Good morning. Are we on, Mitch? Okay. It's nice to be here. Good to see you all. That's about all I have to say. I was thinking about when I was the Eno, and so it was when Claude's was at the old place. So Eno's job is to make sure everybody gets in and gets a seat. And there was a young woman, really attractive young woman, attractive to me anyway, that came in, and I had never seen her before. And so the way that we are, I was kind of excited about the whole thing. And it just so happened that there was a seat open right next to her. And I thought, this is an awesome opportunity for me to meet a new person. So I sat next to her. And sometimes what happens when I sit is my foot will fall asleep. And when I was the Eno, so you have to get up and you have to ring the bell. So I had this kind of, I had a high value in being able to stand up, because I had all my robes on and everything, to stand up and like very elegantly, like not have to adjust or not to change anything around, but like in this one fell swoop, just be able to get up and then walk right to the bell. And I was particularly interested in doing it because there was this young person I liked who I hadn't yet met, so I really wanted to impress her. So I stood up, and I could tell that my right foot was asleep. And so I was like, I'm still going to do my thing, but it's like, I'm checking. It's like, do I really have my foot under me? And I thought, yeah, I do. I'm ready to go. So I stood up, and I started to walk, and my foot was turned like it wasn't actually flat. And so I just fell, like, right onto the floor in the middle of everybody with my robes. And then, in a very dignified manner, I got up and put myself back together. So I've made a living out of humiliating myself. That's what I came here to do today. So maybe you can help me with that. Oh, I got to get the clock in front of me because I'll go over for sure. So I'm going to make a bunch of sounds. I got some stories or some poems. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do. So I just invite you to be with it in whatever way you can. I'll try to get you involved a little bit. I was in Portland at the Zen Center there a couple months ago. And Hogan recommended, because I have all these kind of interesting sounds that I might actually invite people. I think people do this anyway, but I might intentionally invite people to really consider kind of using sound as a meditation device. So that's one way you can interface with it. It's also going to be some poems and some things like that. And then I'll also get you guys involved in a kind of more intentional way. Thank you. where touching one is all touching. Activity is seamless. There, possible worlds are born and die. The seer becomes the seen. A moment, each, always. Light and shadow as rhythm, a pulse. Everywhere, intangible patterns mark the perceptibility of gods and mischief. While here, a morning song lifts an early sun. Light, speed, painting open time in all directions. The river valley, a west-leaning prairie, and all the shining eyes. Creator saw me alone, so alone. He made me lay down to sleep, made me dream beneath a stalk of corn. And he tore from me a rib. Upon waking in front of me, really beautiful, naked, of clay and corn, with the scent of a mountain, was my poetry. I'm going to ask you to help me out. So what I'd like you to do is we're going to do a little, it's kind of a heartbeat, slightly altered heartbeat. So it's going to go like this. It's kind of a long pause in there. Now, you can, this can go on for a long time, or you can drop out whenever you feel like it's right to drop out. You can also add something if you want to. Try to be tasteful about it, whatever that means to you. Pop, pop. Now you notice when there's a long space like that, we're trying to do something together, it's really hard for us to hold it. But as soon as we get somebody else talking to us, super easy. So sometimes I do this with leadership groups. It's a really good way to talk about coming together, so coming together with a common language. So when we're kind of in unison, right? And learning how to internalize that rhythm. So when you walk into clouds and water, you know what the greeter is supposed to do. But we're continually diversifying, right? And we want to bring new people into this situation, and they're not going to speak the same language. So we also have to be able to hold them. And then the way that we really hold this together, because if we do this too long, we'll all get bored. And it'll get stale, and somebody like me will act out. So then we figure out appropriate ways to add our little flavor to the thing. So if you can find something, and I know we got a couple of musicians in the house, so. If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail on the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there are many a small betrayal in the mind, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, letting out with shouts the horrible errors of childhood, storming out to play through the broken dike. And as elephants parade, holding each elephant's tail, but if one should wander, the circus won't find the park. I call it cruel, perhaps the root of all cruelty, to know what happens but not recognize the fact. So I appeal to something important in all who speak, a shadowy, remote region. Though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the mutual parade of our lives gets lost in the dark. For it's important for awake people to be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we send, yes, or no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep. Thank you. three times my life has opened. Once into darkness and rain, once into what the body carries within it at all times, and starts to remember each time it enters into the act of love. Once to the fire that holds all. These three were not different. You'll recognize what I'm saying or you won't. But all day outside my window, a maple stepped from her leaves like a woman in love with winter, dropping the colored silks. Neither are we different in what we know. There's a door, it's opened, and then it's closed. But a slip of light remains, like a scrap of unreadable paper left on the floor. Or the one red leaf released by the snow in March. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now God says, give them a little theatrical lighting and they'll be happy. And we are. So many of us dressing each morning, testing endless combinations, becoming in our mirrors more ourselves, imagining in an entrance the ecstatic weight of human eyes. Now that the sun is shearing towards us, what's left but to let it close in for our close-up? Let us really feel how good it feels to be still in it and make every kind of a self that can be looked at. God, did you make us to be your bright accomplice? God, here are our shining spines. Let there be no more dreams of being more than a beginning. Let it be that to be is to be backlit, and then to be only that light. All right, who took my rock? This thing is called a birumbau. It's the granddaddy of grandmother of all stringed instruments. It's most notably used in the Brazilian choreographed martial art called capoeira, but it's originally from Angola. There are single-stringed instruments all over the world, lots of different varieties. Some of them are plucked, whole bunch of different ways to do it. The hardest thing about playing a bunch of different things is like you start to get a little bit warmed up on one thing and then you pick something else up and it's like, ah, my fingers aren't working. Thank you. Rambao, you are an old man, a twisted stick of a grandfather, with your smooth, round, calabash belly, your rattling bones, and your stone tongue. You are what we started with, and now what is left. Braided strands of brightly colored cloth, 1,000 red African suns, 1 silver Bahian moon at Carnival. Stillness is the heart center of dance. Like wind whispering through tall grass, spray of laughter from a group of children, rattling and clanking of women in the kitchen and the mumbling of toothless old men. Your song is timeless. Your song is time. The thin blood black line, a necklace of hearts and tears that we pull from the reborn earth and bury again with our calloused feet in the earth. Birumbao has been around for a long time. It's the witnesser of many stories. And we are storytelling people, storytelling beings. The Yoruba have a story that remembers the earth before there was any land. So from top to bottom, from side to side, all water and dark. Now there was, at that time, there was a young god named Obatala. And Obatala was kind of, he was sort of precocious and well-liked and also a little bit ambitious. And so when he looked down at the earth and it was just all sea, he thought, it would be cool if there was like land or something. It would just be better, I think. So he kind of got this idea in his mind. It's like, somebody should create some land. Maybe that should be me. So the first thing that he had to do is he had to ask the sky god, the Olaroon, who's the kind of the god of gods, for permission. So he went to him, and it turns out that Olaroon really liked Obatala. He was fond of him. He loved him like a son. So he said, yeah, you can do that. That's fine. That's kind of a cool idea. So he had the green light, but then it was kind of like, I don't know how to do that. How would you do that? So he went to one of his contemporaries, another young god named Orun Mila. And he could see the future, and he also was very clever. And he said, I know how to do that. I can tell you how to do that. So what you need to do that is a snail shell full of sand, a chicken, a palm nut, a black cat, a sack, and a chain of gold. And the chain of gold has to be a long chain of gold because you're going to use it to climb down from the sky all the way down to the earth. So Bhatala said, all right. But then he thought, well, I have a little bit of gold, but not very much. It's interesting, right? Like, where did gods get gold? And why did they need it? Anyway, he only had a little bit, so Arunmala said, well, you should ask everybody else. Collect up their gold. So he did, he went around. And because he was really well-liked, people were predisposed to give them their gold. So he collected all the gold, took it to the blacksmith. Blacksmith looked at it, because blacksmiths can tell that it wasn't going to be enough. He said, I'll do what I can, but this isn't going to be a long enough chain. He said, okay, well, do your best. And then he said, oh, and by the way, the chain has to have a hook on one end, because he had to hook it to the corner of the sky. Otherwise, makes sense, right? Like, that makes sense. So the blacksmith makes the chain. He collects up the black cat, the chicken, the snail filled with snail shell filled with snow, or snow, sand. You can tell I'm from Minnesota. And he sets out. So he brings Arunmila with him to make this journey down. And he's looking down, and so it's not only all water down here, but it's dark, because at that time there was no sun. So he hooks the chain to the edge of the sky and starts to climb down with the sack over his shoulder with all the other stuff in it. So he's getting down toward the end of the chain, and he's still a long way from the I guess you can call it the earth, but it was all water, right? And he calls up to Arunmila, and he says, hey, if I jump from here, I'm going to drown, which I also think is curious. Like, I didn't know gods could drown, but I guess they can. If they can be mischievous and ambitious, why not be able to drown? So he calls up to his friend, and Arunmila says, take out the snail shell and pour the sand out. So he pours the sand out, starts pouring the sand out, and everywhere that he pours sand, land magically appears right there. And where he poured more sand, there were hills and mountains, and where there was less sand, there was plains and valleys. So once he did that, he was able to jump. He jumps off the chain, lands. First thing he does is he takes the palm nut and he plants that, and immediately a palm tree pops up, grows to maturity. And then that palm tree starts making other palm trees, and pretty soon there's palm trees and shrubs all over the place. And he puts the chicken down, and the chicken starts scratching around, and it creates even kind of more topography. So it becomes a super interesting place. The black cat was just his companion. So Bhatala was super happy. He was like, this is cool. This is really cool. And he lived there by himself with just the black cat for company for a long time. Then after a while, he started feeling like, wow, you know, it'd be good if I had some more company. It'd be good if they kind of like were sort of like me somehow. So he started digging around in the earth, and he found some earth that was moist enough that if he fashioned little figures that they'd stick together. It was clay. So he started fashioning figures in his likeness. All kinds of little varieties and variations, but basically in his likeness. And he got a little bit tired because he was so intent on it, he did it for days on end, just like he was obsessed with it. He started getting kind of tired and thirsty, and he decided what he needed was some palm wine. So he got some palm wine, and he was so thirsty that he just started drinking palm wine, you know, coconut cup after coconut cup of palm wine. And he got drunk. So then he went back to fashioning the figures, but his fingers were like not so nimble anymore, right? So he kept fashioning figures, but these figures, some of them had one leg shorter than another one, or they're missing an arm, or the back was really curved. And finally, finished making all the figures. But he didn't know how to breathe life into them, so he called up to Olorun, the sky god, and he said, "Would you please breathe life into these figures for me?" And Olorun said, "Of course." And he breathed life into them, and that became the first Yoruba village called Ife. Now, when they all came to life and they were walking around, Obatala noticed that, like, some of them had one leg longer than another or really curved back. And he realized his mistake, and at that moment he swore that he would never get drunk again. And he also became the protector of those that have particular kinds of challenges. All right, I'm going to have you help me out again, all right? So this one we're just going to do, we're going to clap a pulse. Let's just a second. I gotta think about this for a second. I want you to go faster, I think. So let's go. No, let's go right there. Go there. Shantela o shantendo kokla palele we malya se paula busu ki fele malo ogun krie o krieno fara shantela o shantendo kokla pale lewe malia se paula busu ki fele malo se paula busu ki fele malo. Faster. Yay! Let's see. Oh, how hard would it be for us to do Kanzeon? Wouldn't be very hard, would it? Could we get the chant books passed out? Let's do a little chanting together. So we're going to do it. Some of you already know it. It's a chant called Kanzeon. It's the Japanese version of Kuan Yin. It's a Dharani. It's about compassion. So you could also think of it as a prayer. What page is it on? I say I love you over and over and over, 1,000 times each day, a mantra to the beautiful ones yet to come. Our prayers, they create nothing. They're the songs we sing in various degrees of recognition that everything was accomplished in a single stroke. So this chant is usually often done with the makugyo, the wooden block. So in the way that it sounds is like Kanzeon namo butsu yo butsu en yo butsu en bupo so en jo raku ga jo ning Kanzeon bo ning Kanzeon nin nin ju shin ki nin nin fu ri shin. Many different ways to pray. There was the method of kneeling, which is a fine method if you live in a country where the stones are smooth. Women dreamed wistfully of bleached courtyards hidden corners where knee fit rock. Their prayers were withered rib bones, small calcium words uttered in sequence as if the shredding of syllables could somehow fuse them to the sky. There were the men who had been shepherds so long that they walked like sheep. Under the olive trees, they raised their arms. They cried, "Help us, there's so much pain on earth. There's so much pain that we've no place to store it." But the olives bobbed peacefully in buckets of fragrant thyme and vinegar. And at night, the men ate heartily, flatbread and white cheese. And they were happy in spite of the pain. Some that prized the pilgrimage, wrapping themselves in new white linen to ride miles across, to ride buses across miles of vacant sand. When they arrived at Mecca, they would circle the holy place on foot many times and bend to kiss the earth, returning their lean phases housing mystery. While for certain cousins and grandmothers, the pilgrimage occurs daily, lugging water from the spring or balancing baskets of grapes. These are the ones present at births, humming quietly to perspiring mothers, the ones stitching intricate needlework into the dresses of children, forgetting how easily it is that they soil their clothes. There are those that don't care about praying, the young ones, the ones who have been to America. They tell the old ones, "You're wasting your time." Time. The old ones pray for the young ones. They pray for Allah to mend their brains, for the twig or the round moon to speak suddenly in a commanding tone. And occasionally, there's one who does none of this. The old man Fauzi, for example. Fauzi the fool. The one who beats everyone at dominoes. Insists that he speaks with God as he speaks with goats. And is famous for his laugh. So our time is nigh. So let's do one more, okay? So this is kind of, I'll use the bells again. This is a poem by Nanao Sakaki, who's a friend of Gary Snyder and some of the beat poets. He was a Japanese nomad, forest sprite, wild guy. And this is called Love Letter. Now this is kind of a meditation on space and time or something. In a circle of 1 meter, you sit, pray, and sing. In a building 10 meters large, you sleep well. Rain sounds a lullaby. In a field 100 meters large, raise rice and goats. in a valley 1,000 meters large. Gather firewood, water, wild vegetables, and amanitas. In a forest 10 kilometers large, play with raccoons, hawks, poison snakes, and butterflies. Mountainous country Shinano, 100 kilometers large, where someone lives leisurely, they say. In a circle 1,000 kilometers large, go see the southern coral reefs in summer or the winter drifting ices in the Sea of Okhotsk. In a circle 10,000 kilometers large, walking somewhere on Earth. In a circle 100,000 kilometers large, swimming in the sea of shooting stars. In a circle 1 million kilometers large, upon the spaced out yellow mustard blossoms, the moon in the east, the sun west. Within a circle 10,000 light years large. The galaxy full blooming in spring. Within a circle 1 million light years large, Andromeda is melting away and snowing cherry flowers. Now, within a circle 10 billion light years large, all thoughts of time and space are burnt away. There again you sit, pray, and sing. You sit, pray, and sing.